is indeed. There is a God, and it's not me. But you know what? Too many people think that they are God, that they are in control. And that's why we have so many problems in the world today. And that's why so many women and men have been, sold out to this abortion mentality, this birth control mentality, because they think they can control everything. Well, 20 years ago, our amazing John Paul II wrote this beautiful document, an apostolic letter, on the dignity and vocation of women on the occasion of the Marian year, Mulieris Dignitatum. And you can just, type in any search engine. If you do dignity and vocation of women, JP2, it'll come up. You can also go to this beautiful website, which has a document that's very easily accessible. They got it right there for you. dignityofwomen.com. And you'll see myself, you'll see Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, you'll see a number of speakers, Dr. P. DeSalini, all of whom are addressing this issue this year. I've got a brand new talk that I first gave in December at a women's Advent retreat called Handmaids of the Lord, Rediscovering the True Dignity of Women, based on the document. Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle is our guest this morning, our mom segment, and she and I are going to be among the women attending this conference in Rome in just a few weeks on the dignity and vocation of women. Hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Teresa. Thanks for having me.
And are you packing already?
No. Are you?
Me neither.
I have too much to do before I could go.
Pretty exciting stuff, though. Let's talk about this. We received a letter, and we both kind of passed out. And after we picked ourselves up off the floor and realized that we were invited to this thing, looking at it, it's pretty exciting in terms of this document being studied.
Absolutely, it's so timely and it's so important. And it's pretty sad that a lot of people aren't even aware. A lot of Catholics aren't even aware of our apostolic letters and encyclicals and all this really good, important information for the laity and for women, and so we hear all the stuff from our culture and society dictating to us what we're supposed to be and where we find our place and all of that. So we really want to get the word out to everyone to print this out, get it from the website or look it up, like you said, and reflect upon it, read it, reflect upon it. And we have all the graces of this year in the 20th year celebration. We can call upon those graces. I'm sure they're there, and ask our Lord to enlighten us and to help. And so we can be instrumental in helping women in our world today. It's a mission, and we're all called to it. We're being called to Rome, and that's wonderful, and we're so honored. But we're all, every woman, every Catholic woman, every Christian woman, we're all called to be in this mission, to be like the woman at the well who became, the first missionary when Jesus spoke with her and she ran back to the village to tell the people, and just real quickly, Jesus, always transcended the norm of the culture. Here he was talking to a woman, and she was there to fetch water and he was there to give her the living water, and so she ran back and gave it to her people. So this is what we're being called to do, and Jesus did that when we walked the earth, and now he does it through the church.
Well, it's interesting because John Paul II, we always hear the term, feminist and women's liberation, but John Paul II, following Jesus, is really a true liberator of women, especially through the writings that he left us, and I love this apostolic letter. It's so cool.
It's so beautiful, and he always uplifted the dignity of women. He always put them way up there, and it's just a shame that most people will listen to what our culture is dictating to them rather than what our church has been telling us through the ages and how women are, of such a high, have been held in high esteem. And we need to start reading those documents and letters and try to attend days of recollection and reflection and retreats and learn more about our faith and what our church says about women and our great mission that we have.
Now, from what we know in terms of the event going on early next month, there are going to be some speakers, and God willing, we're going to have an audience with the Holy Father at the end of the conference, and there's going to be a lot of different talks on the actual document, and I understand that our very own Genevieve, who's very involved in the Dignity of Women website that we've been mentioning, she's going to be giving a talk in Rome as well.
Yes, she will, and so will Dale O'Leary on our last day there. They'll be giving a couple of talks, and we're, we don't know any of the other presenters. We don't know a lot about it. We just know it's 3 days packed with conferences from morning to night, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the wonderful titles to the conferences, Christianity and the Advancement of Women. So God created humankind in his image, and in the image of God, he created them male and female. He created them person, nature, culture, reflection on women since the apostolic letter. See, this is what we're going
to
be talking
about.
Yeah,
this is what I can't wait for that session. Mm. That's going to be really
right.
interesting.
So, you know, there's so many more topics. I won't go into all of them. But this is the whole idea, is to see where we've come and what we need to do. You know, what's happened in the last 20 years. And unfortunately, there's been a lot of bad stuff happening in the last 20 years,
right.
too, with the whole fallout from the sexual revolution, and unfortunately a lot of casualties and deaths, you know, all these unborn babies that have been killed because poor women are confused and listening to what society dictates mm-hmm. to them rather than opening up to the love that Jesus is trying to give them, don't you think?
Yeah, I have this quote. I have the document on my file for Rome. Of course, I've read the document before, but just going over it again. I have this beautiful quote that I found from St. Francis Cabrini that I use in my new talk on the dignity of women. The soul who abandons herself in the hands of Jesus and all she does is carried in his arms.
Oh.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's beautiful. And that's what we need to realize. And you know, do we have time for a little quote from...
Oh, absolutely. I've got the document right in front of me, so we can pick out our favorite quotes.
Oh, good. Well, you know, there's so many... John Paul II.
I just love him.
I love him so much. He said so many amazing things about women and our mission that it's really, in this apostolic letter, it's very difficult to separate one out. But, you know, just maybe a little excerpt here will illustrate, you know, our mission as women and as mothers to the human being, you know, not the biological, but our role and our mission to be a mother to others and to bring Jesus to them. So toward the end of this apostolic letter.
Okay, what page?
Page 100.
Okay.
Hey, you could read some, I could read some.
Okay.
Like we're in school. Okay, while the dignity of woman, do you see it?
Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe you're in a different book too. Witnesses to the love which she receives in order to love in return. And it's interesting because Mother Teresa always spoke about, you know, receiving love to be able to return that love. The biblical exemplar of the woman also seems to reveal the true order of love which constitutes woman's own vocation.
Mm.
Vocation is meant here in its fundamental and, one may say, universal significance, a significance which is then actualized and expressed in woman's many different vocations in the church and the world. The moral and spiritual strength of a woman is joined to her awareness that God entrusts the human being to her in a special way. Of course, God entrusts every human being to each and every other human being, but this entrusting concerns women in a special way, precisely by reason of their femininity, and this in a particular way determines their vocation. The moral force of women, which draws strength from this awareness and this entrusting, expresses itself in a great number of figures of the Old Testament, of the time of Christ and of later ages right up to our own day. A woman is strong because of her awareness of this entrusting. See, this is a problem. We're not really
right.
aware, you know, in our world today that we are entrusted with this mission. Strong because of the fact that God entrusts the human being to her always and in every way, even in the situations of social discrimination in which she may find herself. This awareness and this fundamental vocation speak to women of the dignity which they receive from God himself, and this makes them strong and strengthens their vocation. Thus, the perfect woman, which is mentioned in Proverbs, becomes an irreplaceable support and source of spiritual strength for other people who perceive the great energies of her spirit. These perfect women are owed much by their families and sometimes by whole nations. And there's some more to that. It's pretty important. But just stopping there, you know, we're not expected to be, you know, perfect women. It's just using that quote from the Bible. But
mm-hmm.
what a perfect woman is, he's saying, is, you know, one who's aware of this entrusting to her, of this love and this mission to take care of the human being, and how families and even whole nations are, you know, indebted to these women. And we just have such an amazing mission, and unfortunately our world sometimes may make a woman feel you know, very inferior and has pushed her to the margins of society.
Well, he talks about that, too. This is the thing about you know, the church and the John Paul II and, of course, Benedict as well.
Yeah.
It talks about it, the fact that, you know, that women have been mistreated and women have been pushed aside. And John Paul II is not saying that that's okay. He actually apologizes for this, not only in this document, but in other letters that he's written on women.
Oh, yeah, he does. He's such a hero to women, actually. He apologizes and he laments over the fact that how women have been treated as sex objects and looked upon just for their exterior beauty rather than their interior heart and beauty. And I don't know if you want to read the
Let me read one of my favorite segments. Yes. This is where he talks about, you were talking about him going to Scripture so much in this document, which is so cool. This is the section on First Witnesses of the Resurrection, starting with paragraph 16. From the beginning of Christ's mission, women show to him and to his mystery a special sensitivity which is characteristic of their femininity. It must also be said that this is especially confirmed in the Paschal mystery, not only at the cross, but also at the dawn of the resurrection. The women are the first at the tomb. They are the first to find it empty. They are the first to hear, "He is not here, he has risen," as he said. They are the first to embrace his feet. They are also the first to be called to announce his truth to the apostles. The Gospel of John emphasizes the special role of Mary Magdalene. She is the first to meet the risen Christ. At first she thinks he is the gardener. She recognizes him only when he calls her by name. Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned to him and said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and said to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that she had said these things to her. Hence she came to be called the Apostle of the Apostles. Mary Magdalene was the first eyewitness of the risen Christ, and for this reason she was also the first to bear witness to him before the apostles. This event, in a sense, crowns all that has been said previously about Christ entrusting divine truths to women as well as men.
Right.
One can say that this fulfilled the words of the prophet, "I will pour out my spirit in all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." On the 50th day of Christ's resurrection, these words are confirmed once more in the upper room in Jerusalem at the descent of the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, Acts 2, verse 17. And finally, he goes on to say, and there's much more, but we don't have time for all of it, "Everything that has been said so far about Christ's attitude to women confirms and clarifies in the Holy Spirit the truth about the equality of man and women." Then he goes on in the next paragraph. It says that, you know, equality doesn't necessarily mean, or unity does not cancel out diversity.
Exactly.
And see, that's where we've just taken this and gone in way off the deep end in, you know, in the worldly view of women. That just because we are equal in God's eyes, we are made equal in his image, in God's image, but we are also created in a very different way for different purposes.
Exactly. And the way our culture throws at women these days is that you're supposed to really become a man to become equal, and it's a bunch of garbage they're being handed, and unfortunately, a lot of them accept that. And they try to be someone else rather than the woman that they were created to be. And thank you for that excerpt. That's one of my favorites as well. I just love it how he, you know, affirms how women have been, you know, given.
Yeah, and the thing that's so frustrating to me is if we would take the time to really read, of course, not only what the church says, but also what Scripture says, and as John Paul II says, is so clear about the way Christ treated women.
I know.
How he uplifted women and how he was the one who was always bringing women into his ministry.
I know.
And then we get all tied up in, oh, women can't be priests. But the one place, and Dr. Pia De Sileni, who's going to be there with us, talks about this all the time. The one time in Scripture where Jesus did not have women present at a, you know, at a big event in his ministry was where? It was in the upper room at the institution of the Eucharist.
Right, right.
So, but this is to show that women have, you know, different roles than men.
That's
And it took me years to understand that.
I know, yeah. But it's that's what we're going to be hearing a lot now, Teresa, in interviews and whatever regarding the Congress when we come back. And, you know, that's one of the biggest questions I get from the secular press is, what about women priests now? Or is that what you're talking about?
Well, I think there's going to be, and maybe I'm wrong because it's going to be Super Tuesday week that week, but I'm thinking, Dr. P and I have been talking, you know, online and with some of the other women.
Yes.
I'm thinking that the world press is going to be covering this because they're going to be taking this whole thing and trying to focus just on that issue at this conference next month.
Right, right. Yeah.
But that'll give people like you, me, and Pia a chance to set them all straight.
That's right. Genevieve has a nice way to put it. She says, the church is primarily the bride, you know, the Marian precedes the patrine. To have a woman priest is to create a same-sex union,
right,
it would be sterile.
Right.
So, you know, that's kind of one way to look at it.
Yeah, a bride can't marry a bride. Right.
Exactly.
Right. Jesus is married. He's married to the church. He's the bridegroom. The church is the bride.
Right. And you were saying about, losing my train of thought. How, you know, we just have, there's so much richness to our faith, but, you know, sadly, I find this when I go out and give my talks and travel around, that so many people don't really know about the documents and the encyclicals and the apostolic letters. They're a little embarrassed to say, but then they admit that they've never read them. And we're not going to get that from the pulpit. How are we going to get that in 20 minutes or half an hour in sermon for the, you know, people who maybe go once a week to church or something? How are we going to get all this? We have to realize we have to you know, find out ourselves. We have to research and look at the Vatican website and look at some great Catholic websites. Listen to your show, you know, find the truth and give it to others. We can't just expect to get it all in 20-minute sermon.
Right. I wanted to give you a chance, too, Donna Marie, to plug the website, Dignity of Women, because they've done a terrific job of putting together access to the documents. There's also a study guide, isn't there?
Yes. www.dignityofwomen.com. If you can go to that, you'll see a lot about this. There's a study guide, a wonderful study guide you can get through that website. Genevieve tells me that the letter is out of print. I didn't realize that. This letter from John Paul II on the dignity and vocation of women. I have several copies at my house, but I didn't realize it was out of print. But you can get it from the Vatican website. You can get it from the Dignity of Women website. But they have a great study guide. And what we really hope people will do is to take the initiative and start their own local initiatives through their own parish. And because this is a beautiful time this year to celebrate this 20th anniversary of Mulieris Dignitatum, you know, all over the world is going to be celebrating. We have this opportunity to go to our pastors, to go to our bishops, to try to set up, you know, even just a little day of reflection at our parish. And we could all help to do this. And imagine if everyone really tries to get things set up and get the word out to women about our dignity. And, you know, look at the study guide and some other wonderful books that are on the website. And this is what we are to do. You know, we're going to be going to Rome and we're going to be getting all this information. We're going to bring it back the best that we can and to promote it and also hope and encourage that, you know, hope that you will all want to do something to promote this and to start it in every parish, in every diocese.
I know in the Archdiocese of Detroit, they're going to be doing a lot of talking about that as well. And it's a great way to get speakers to bring them in. Janet Moran and I are doing a whole seminar for the Archdiocese of Newark that's coming up March 1st. Mm. We're going to be doing doing talks on life issues, but also taking a much closer look at this document. And I'll be reflecting on the conference, God willing, in March. So there's a lot of things that you can do. And I wouldn't just do it for women. I would have events for men and women.
Right. And we even have a guy on our... list the speakers on our website, Dignity of Women website. It's not just for women, but it's, you know, we're all in this together. But, yeah, it'd be great to, because actually the name of the Congress that we're going to in Rome is called Woman and Man, the Human in its entirety.
Absolutely, yeah. All right, Donna, exciting stuff. And you've written about this in your latest newsletter. Give us your website. And you also have a link to the Dignity of Women website, too.
Yes. www.donnacooperoboyle.com. DonnaCooperOboyle.com. It's DonnaCooperOboyle.com. That's my main website, but you can get to the two blogs from there that I have, and there I usually update those daily, and there's a lot more information on the blogs, and there's a Dignity of Women little button you can press to get right to the website of Dignity of Women. And if you have your own blog and you'd like that button for your own blog, just email me through my website. I'll send it to you and you can help to promote it that way. So is there anything else we need to let everybody know, Teresa?
No, I think we're good. I think if they just go to that website, because
that website,
there's so much information.
So much information there. See what you think you might be able to do. Pray about it and see, you know, where our Lord is calling you to help with this and to spread the word and to study the document.
Yeah, on the anniversary, the actual anniversary of the document is coming up in August of this year. He actually issued it on August 15th, 1988, and I know there's a lot of different events going on during the month of August and also in the fall for that, in honor of the actual anniversary date.
Will you be talking about them on the show to let people know when they are?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I mentioned the one in March that I'm doing for the Archdiocese of Newark. And if anyone has any events going on related to, you know, this, you know, email me and I'll publicize it for you, and we can get some of the speakers on the program as well.
But I'll email you with a few dates. I have some things coming up as well.
Okay, good. All right, sweetie. Thanks so much, and we will be talking before we head to Roma. Now, you've been there before, right?
I've been there, like, twice, but I haven't been there in a while, and this is a whole new mission, so it's very exciting, and it's such an honor. And everyone out there, if you can please just say some prayers for us to be able to absorb it all and bring it all back.
Yes, because that's going to be our responsibility, to absorb as much as possible and then share it with our listeners and with those of us, those of our listeners who are on our newsletters, and to give talks, God willing, and also to help us stand up in a Christ-like manner if there's challenges, especially from the secular media on this issue, and especially for me, because sometimes my patient really wears thin when these stories come up.
Count to 10, Teresa. Say 10
okay,
Hail Mary.
Okay, calm down. Take a deep breath.
Say your Hail Marys. That will do. That does the trick every time.
All right, Donna, have a great week, and we will be talking by phone real soon. God
we'll
bless
be in
you,
touch.
Sweetie.
God okay. bless you. Thanks for having me, Teresa.
You're welcome, honey. Have a great week. Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle, Catholic mom and speaker, be joining me and Dr. Pia and Genevieve Kaneki at the Dignity of Women Conference in Rome coming up in a few weeks, and we will give you all the details. Don't forget dignityofwomen.com for more information. We'll be right back.